We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
Hey, here we are. End of season one, our last episode for the season. How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? Well, you go first.
It's a little emotional. I remember when we first started, there was that conversation that a lot of people don't make it past 10 and they burn out, they quit.
Sure.
And there's that saying, I guess, that if you make it past 10, then you know you're in it for the long haul.
Past 10 episodes.
Yeah, past 10 episodes. And,
sure.
And we're here. We've done it. And it feels really gratifying to have it all recorded and to have it all done.
Well, and just to seeing, not to pat ourselves on the back, but just how much we've grown through this.
For sure.
I think we're both like, yeah, we've gotten better than the first episode.
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully the listeners are.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully our million of followers by this point.
Weren't we just like texting each other the other week? Like, look at all the guests we've had on, overseas guests. We've learned a lot. I mean, it's just been like really, and this has been such a dream of mine to have a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we're really excited. I mean, this is the end of season one, but we already have we have so much planned for season two.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so excited for it. Season two is going to be really the fulfillment of the bigger vision of the travel agents.
Well, and I feel like we have a very big surprise for season two.
Yeah, for sure.
But we shouldn't tell in case it doesn't work out. Let's just say it may have to do with a little more visual. Is that okay?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But so, what is our season finale about today?
What every traveler should have.
Hey, it's an important episode. It's an important episode.
Well, you know, your social media ads are going to be flashing all sorts of stuff at you that you need the moment you start researching travel.
Sure.
So what of those do you actually need?
Yeah, a lot of it's junk, I'll be honest.
Oh, the majority is.
Yeah.
But boy, they make it look like you need it.
Dude, they do. They get you for sure. Yeah. Be careful, guys.
I never knew I needed travel pants until I didn't cave and buy those, but
sure. Yeah.
I mean, the model wearing them looks like, wow, how could I not?
So comfy.
Those?
Yeah. So comfy.
Yeah. They're somewhat fashionable.
But all right. Well, hey, let's get into our list, man.
We've narrowed it down to 12.
Yeah. We got 12 items. There's definitely a lot more to it, but I think these are the 12.
More.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. I think let's just start with these because like these are the 12 I'm going to take with me on every trip.
Sure. And some of these are obvious, but we're going to expand on it and give some of our recommendations and why we think that way.
Right. Now, I'm going to add one in at number zero. I'm calling an audible here and just say passport.
It's an obvious one, but if you've never traveled before, I guess. Yeah.
It's like if you're listening to a travel podcast, you should know you need a passport.
Well, here's the thing.
We're not doing our job.
Some people might not know. By the time we've launched this, by the time you're listening to this, you will need, if you're an American, to fly through states, you will need a special driver's license. By now, everyone should probably have it.
Assuming they didn't push it back.
Yeah.
They've already pushed that rule back a couple times.
They have because of COVID and everything.
But as of recording this episode, you could always just fly with your passport if you don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So.
All right. Well, hey, with that one, how about number one?
Credit cards.
Yeah. I have my favorite.
Yeah.
And my favorite's the Chase Sapphire card.
Yeah.
I love it.
Sure.
The only downside of it is it's $550 annually, but it's really worth it.
So did you get the Chase Sapphire Reserve or just the Chase Sapphire? Same one. Yeah. Same one.
Yeah. The same
$550.
One.
$550. Yeah. You got the Reserve.
Yeah.
So the Chase Sapphire Reserve gives you 3X points on travel purchases.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so many other perks.
It does. Yeah.
We decided
transaction fees. Also.
We decided, yeah. And then my other big one is the American Express Platinum card.
Okay.
Also about $550 or $575 or something per year. Well, I guess our goal for talking about these credit cards isn't to go into all of how the points transfer and what's the best way to use them and all that kind of stuff, because you can go to the points guy. I think it's TPG, thepointsguy.com, and he's got everything, the 10 rules for getting a travel credit card, and he just breaks it down so nicely. He even has his own podcast, Brian Kelly, I believe is his name, and
okay.
it's impressive. But we don't want to talk about that. We just want to say favorite credit card is the Chase Sapphire Reserve, as well as the American Express Platinum, because with those two cards alone, you're going to get great points, great security, and then lounges.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Amex will give you, the Amex Platinum gives you access to like, it gives you access to Delta Sky Club when you're flying Delta, as well as all the Centurion lounges. And the Chase Sapphire Reserve gets you the free priority pass, which gets you to lounges all over the world. So those super are the two nice key ones there.
All right, number two, how about suitcases? What do you recommend for suitcases?
Well, I was always a fan of Swiss gear, that red cross on the front.
Sure.
I remember just seeing like, oh, wow, all the business travelers have Swiss gear bags. That really seems to be a good quality brand. So I finally got my first Swiss gear bag a couple of years ago, and I have not looked back. I would just say whether it's Swiss gear or not, make sure to get a suitcase that does have the four wheels on the bottom, not just two, and make sure that each of the four wheels have the 360 rotation.
Yeah. And I would recommend that you get something that that is lightweight. Maybe it's made of, I think it's polycarbonate, I think is the material that makes it light and hard shell. And another thing that I highly recommend, if you're in the process of buying a suitcase, get something that's not black, get something that's not blue.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a rainbow color. It'll really help you.
Well, and I have a theory that the brighter bags are really easy to find.
Sure.
And I have a theory that robbers, what do you call them? Stealer thefts.
Thieves.
Thieves are least. I mean, if you were a thief, would you be more likely to steal in a sea of 100 black suitcases or navy or whatever? Would you steal that one, or would you steal the one bright pink one?
Yeah, I'd probably go for the one that looks like every other.
Exactly. Same. Yeah. So would I. So I got a bright white bag, and it shows every scuff on it, and I'm very well aware of that. But I really like it. And I agree. I went hard shell as well. I was always a soft suitcase guy. I finally went hard shell, and I love that it's waterproof, and I just think my clothes don't get as smushed.
But, I mean, if you're looking for, I guess, like a little bit of a bonus with packing a suitcase, I'm going to actually jump down to number eight on our list, Brian, because it kind of goes hand in hand.
Sure.
And that's packing cubes.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, when you first thought of this, you might be thinking of just clothes cubes that you might have in like your room or whatever. But what a packing cube is it's an individual bag for an outfit for that day. So say you're going on an 8-day trip, you can have eight packing cubes, and you have your outfits all planned to precision, and they all fit into your suitcase. So that way things are a little bit more together, and you don't have to worry about digging through your suitcase and your luggage and all that stuff.
I dig all the time, and it ruins everything.
Yeah. No matter how hard you plan for it, no matter how hard you go into the Marie Kondo method, it goes right out the window after day two.
Sure.
And yeah, those packing cubes can really help you, even if you have like dirty clothes or you get caught in the rain the one day. What are you going to do with those rainy clothes? I mean, you're not going to put them in the suitcase, but you have your packing cube. You can throw it in there and it keeps everything clean.
How nice when it's Thursday, you pull out the Thursday packing cube and then, there's my clothes. I don't have to go.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Figure out what I want. Yeah,
I'm into it.
Cool. Number three is a jacket with zipper pockets, not button, zipper pockets.
All right, what do you mean by this, man?
Specifically when going to the TSA, I remember growing up and watching my dad. He'd faithfully, when going through security, he'd get one of the complimentary little bowls. He'd put his change, his wallet, his keys, I don't know, checkbook, whatever dads in the 90s carried, and it would all go through the x-ray. And I don't know what's getting knocked off, what's falling off, what's getting grabbed and stolen. I don't know. There's so many people in airports these days. I'm terrified of just like putting my stuff in an open.
Or just whatever. Like forgetting the one, like maybe you need to do two containers or something.
Sure.
Forget.
So what I do, I have a fleece jacket that has zippers on it. I put passport, wallet, cash, keys, cell phone, iPhone in there, zip up the pockets, take off my jacket very quickly, stuff it in my backpack going through TSA. I don't have to be worried about anything, and I zip it all closed.
I like it. That's smart, man. I like it.
Thanks. So I'm definitely, when I'm not going to go on a whole kick about fashion and what shoes to wear and pants to buy and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to say jacket with zipper pockets. And I will say many of our female clients are often wondering, what do I pack? And they come at me with that question. And I'm not, I finally realized I'm not suited to answer that question, right?
Yeah.
So I have a resource. I get her emails weekly, and she does a great job. It's travelfashiongirl.com.
Okay.
I believe it's an Italian woman, I think. Although I just saw in this week's, in her email, I think she might live in Mexico. So I don't know if she's just living there or if she's Mexican, but I could have swore she was Italian. But it's travelfashiongirl.com. It's all I'm going to say. I won't try to explain, but she really gets how to dress well and how to fit in the foreign country you're going to, which I think a lot of what our clients and listeners are looking for. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stick out like a sore thumb when I'm in Florence. I don't want people to know I'm an American tourist with my Old Navy American flag t-shirt in Rome, right? They want to fit in. And so check her out.
Absolutely. That's great. For me, one of my favorite things, one of the first things that goes into my bag are my headphones, noise canceling headphones.
Right.
You can't beat it, because I don't care how many screaming kids are on that 11-hour flight. I can't be bothered, because I am either in dreamland or I am 10 songs deep into that album.
Right.
And it's phenomenal.
Do your noise canceling headphones come with a cord? Because I know you have Bluetooth.
Yeah, they're Bluetooth and they do come with a cord. So thankfully, if I do want to watch a movie or whatever, I can just connect it. But I know you want to talk about this.
Well, I just got an update this week. United Airlines is launching like over 150 new aircrafts. All are going to be Bluetooth enabled. For like the TV of the seat in front of you is Bluetooth enabled to your wireless headphones.
The future is here.
Ooh, I wonder if you and a partner could watch the same movie and listen together.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, with Bluetooth, that'd be...
If two can connect to the same...
It'd have to be...
Or can you not... Oh, you probably can't connect two at a time, could you?
No, you couldn't. Even with Bluetooth 5.0, it still can only connect one device at a time.
One device at a time, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm curious how that will work.
Okay.
Interesting. That's a good point. We'll have to go on one of those flights.
By the time of this recording, comment and let us know. Let's talk about batteries. So Will, hit us with what are we going to do about battery packs?
Sure. If I'm going on a long flight and I know I'm going to be burning through my cell phone, or maybe I'm thinking I'm going to carry a Nintendo Switch with me. I don't know. I'm going for the power bank. I mean, I'm going to carry them regardless because of the camera equipment, but... For those long flights, man, you can't really beat a power bank.
And so what is a power bank?
Sure. So a power bank is, it's a battery that's portable and it has different ports so you can charge via USB 3.0 or USB-C. It's just a walking battery, basically, that's going to power your devices. It's so much nicer than having to crowd around those seats that everyone's going for that have the outlets and stuff.
Right.
So. It's a lot better.
Especially if you're using your GPS all day or something, or just your phone, and it's 3 p.m., you're nowhere near your hotel, and you're already running out of battery. Plug it in.
Yeah, 100%.
Easy to travel with. Next, I'm going to talk about my favorite toiletry bags. So I am a fan of just a good toiletry bag, preferably one with a strap that can hang on like a mirror in the bathroom. That way it's not just falling on the floor of the bathroom or something like that.
Yeah.
My toiletry bag, I'm just going to give you the number because I think this is kind of wild. I ended up spending $75 on my travel toiletry bag.
Man, is it Gucci?
It was from graveltravel.com.
Okay.
That's gravel, as in like parking lot gravel. Graveltravel.com. Yeah, good question, because you can definitely find cheaper than this on Amazon Essentials. But something about this bag, and I know how much I travel.
Sure.
I've never been happy with my, toiletry bag. Who knows what happened? Maybe I sold like an extra trip that day or something, but.
I'm not going to lie. Every time I go with you and I see your bag, I get jealous. I'm like, dang, I need one of those.
That's why I do it. Yeah. No, I'm very proud of my toiletry bag.
So this next one, we've kind of already talked about it in a prior episode.
Sure.
But I remember when we went to Iceland, ding, 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 that's the episode. this thing came in big time, sure. And that's Skyroam. But what is Skyroam? Skyroam is a wireless Wi-Fi hotspot. So it doesn't necessarily need to be Skyroam. That's the one that we've used before.
Sure.
And it works. It has its cons, but sure. Just like everything.
Yeah.
But we recommend a wireless Wi-Fi hotspot because if you're going international, you don't necessarily want to pay the $60 fee a day for international data. Well, it's a lot. You know?
Okay, so I know Verizon. Yeah, sorry. I don't mean to correct you, but I think Verizon's like 10 bucks a day. But you're right.
It's a lot.
Some plans, particularly when you have a lot of people, some plans it might be like 60 or 80 bucks for like the whole duration of your trip up front, right? And so those, or actually more than that, because you have to get like a whole plan. Like T-Mobile, you have to just get a plan that includes it all the time.
Right,
even if you're just doing one trip that year. So it's insane. Yeah, it really adds up. So what are you going to do? Because you need your phone when you're traveling internationally. You need connection to data. And I know international calling and texting, they're not that expensive. They are, but they're not crazy. But the international data is what kills you. I've heard horror stories of clients who bring home, take four kids to Paris for the week, right? Mm-hmm. Teenage kids. Yeah. You know where this is going. And they don't make any proactive steps to get an international plan. They come home to a, you know, $2,000 Verizon bill, right? Like it's nuts. So this is an opportunity that it's a hot spot. Skyroam in particular, I'm familiar with. I think you spend about 180 bucks for the device and you keep that forever. And then you spend $9 per 24-hour period to activate it. Mm-hmm. Up to 10 people can connect at once.
It was nice. It came in handy a lot of times. I know we were looking for like dinner one night. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for Skyroam in the middle of the boonies in Iceland, it came in clutch then.
It's a phenomenal value. The three downsides I can think of is that it actually goes off cell phone tower. So I was excited on a cruise. I thought it would work. It would go off like the satellites.
Yeah, sure.
It did not work on a cruise because there's no cell phone towers.
Sure.
Number two is that the more people you are connected, the less it weighs it down. So for our Iceland trip, there were six people connected at one time. There's no chance we're going to watch a YouTube video or something. There's no streaming capabilities.
Yeah.
You can use Wi-Fi and you can search something on social media or on Google, but you're not going to do anything past that. And then the third downside would be that if the group decides to split up, you can't, you know, you have to be within a certain radius of this thing to be connected to it.
Sure.
Now our group of six stayed together pretty much all the time.
Right.
But if we had split up, that wouldn't have been fun.
Yeah. Okay. And then, we already talked about number eight, but to backtrack, that was the packing cubes. So we're going to go back to number nine, and that is an international travel adapter and a curling iron.
So
go ahead, Brian.
There's a big difference between travel adapters and travel converters. Adapters just adapt, converters convert. As I was saying it, I was like, I think I'm just repeating what I've said. An adapter just adapts the voltage. Gosh, I want to get this right.
So a converter is going to step down the amperage and convert it into a different voltage. So here in the United States, it's at a certain voltage in a household. It's different.
So as a layman, how do you know what you're buying? I'll tell you this. Usually a travel adapter is somewhere in the range of $10 to $20. A travel converter can be $100, I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a pretty, you're actually converting like electricity, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I recommend international travel adapters. There are some on Amazon that work in over 150 countries, probably the country you're going to go to, it works in, right? But one of the coolest things about the international travel adapter, it's all in one, but you can get the one that you can charge at least two USBs, like two iPhones, for example, at once. That's what's great. But the problem is you're bringing a curling iron or straightening iron, and you plug into one of these cheap mass-made international travel adapters that you just spent $12 on, the thing's going to blow up in like 5 or 10 seconds. So you would need a converter. So your next question is, am I really going to spend 100 or 150 bucks on a travel converter just so I can have a curling iron or straightening iron or hair blow dryer? And I would say this. Number one, most hotels have blow dryers for your hair.
Yep.
Number two, on Amazon, type in international curling straightening iron for travel all in one. It's about $27, and this converts for you. You can plug it in to your adapter, and it will not blow up.
That's nice.
It's smaller, but curling, straightening, all in one, not dangerous, good to have. Or worst case scenario, when you get to the country, just go buy buy a local curling iron.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that starts to add up.
That's great. That makes a lot more sense as to how you always have curly hair when we go overseas.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
How about our next item?
I call this a money belt, though I know it's not the traditional money belt, which is like a true belt that holds up your pants and inside there's a zipper and you can hide money and stuff. I've never actually had that or seen that, but this is like a safe travel, safety, security pouch. I know, I believe Target, Walmart, LL Bean, they sell them, but you can go on Amazon. There's all types.
Yeah.
This is something that goes underneath your clothes. Mm-hmm. So I like wearing this. I bring one. Mine goes underneath my pants. So it literally goes in up over the underwear. And what I like, I keep my passport, cash, credit cards in there. Mm-hmm. And then in my wallet, my travel wallet, which I keep in my front pocket, I keep like, I don't know, $50.
Sure.
That way, if and when I ever get pickpocketed from my wallet, my trip's not ruined.
Sure.
Yeah, I've lost $50, which is unfortunate, but I still have my passport, my credit cards, and my excess cash. So that's why I'm a big fan of those.
Sure.
I want to talk about the turtle pillow.
Yeah.
So I never bought the neck pillow on planes that goes around your neck as like a moon shape, right? I never caved in and bought it. Because every time I saw someone wearing it, after about an hour, it was on the floor, their neck was hanging forward, or they were sick of it and they took it off, like they got sweaty or something.
Yeah.
Well, then I heard about the turtle pillow. I won't overhype it because it took me a while to get used to it, but it's a wrap that wraps around your neck. It's very slim, so it fits very easily in your bag.
Okay.
It's around $30 on Amazon, and it's got a, the best way, almost like a spring thing that goes in the front of your neck that keeps your neck up straight. So mm-hmm. the biggest issue when you're trying to sleep on an airplane is your neck falling forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then you snap forward and then have to go to see the chiropractor in North Canton. Shout out to Dr. Vargo, such a great chiropractor. But anyways, so this actually keeps your neck up and it's just very easy to travel with.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a couple flights, but I'm a huge fan of the turtle pillow.
Every time I go on a trip with you, I see you whip this thing out and I immediately get jealous because you're like zonked out within like 20 minutes and I'm over here like, all right, I just gotta get through the trip.
Well, I also have a privilege of being able to fall asleep on flights.
All right. You got the special power.
So Will, let's say I have all these books I wanna bring. I had these great expectations of like reading 3 or 4 books on this trip. And as you know, books are some of the most heavy things to travel with. They also take up a lot of space.
Yeah, no doubt. This one's probably obvious to most people, but we highly recommend you bring a Kindle or something that's Kindle, like an iPad, whatever it is, but something that you can use to read an ebook, or if you're into audiobooks. But if you're into ebooks, Kindles, iPads really do the trick. It'll really help lighten the load. I mean, almost all of my friends that I know of, they love when they go to an all-inclusive resort. One of their favorite things to do is get a drink, lay by the pool, and read a book.
Yeah,
I go crazy, but they love it. And I don't think they ever have an actual physical book because, come on, you can't
too much.
You can't allocate that weight for a book.
No.
Just get the Kindle and read to your heart's desire.
And the Kindle holds battery so well. And then one other Kindle pro tip. It's around $8 on Amazon. It's called the Kindle Strap. And it hooks because like I can hold the Kindle in my hand, but I find that my hand gets tired from gripping the whole thing, right?
Sure.
Well, the strap loops around the back and you just slide your hand into it very comfortably.
Ooh.
Oh, it's so nice. It changed my Kindle experience forever. What a funny one to end on. Like, okay, that's it. Those are our 12. We know there's a lot more. There are.
Yeah.
There's a lot more cool things you could get for travel, Trust me. And if you don't know, social media will tell you all the great things you can get once you start looking.
Yeah. We're so sorry for the potential ads you might be getting after listening to this podcast.
I feel like we could have mentioned waterproof shoes.
That's only if you go to the Dead Sea in Israel. Just kidding.
The moment you go to Europe in April and it rains on you that first day and you're like, oh, shoot, my shoes and my socks are wet. Now my day's ruined.
Yeah.
You can keep dry shoes. So I get a lot of ads for waterproof shoes.
Yeah. I've seen a few of those that look pretty good. I can't think of any of them off the top of my head.
One's called Suave. I want to try it.
Okay, I think that's the one I'm thinking of. They look kind of cool. They look really cool,
and they're pricey, but they're supposed to be waterproof, so.
It goes a long way, man. Yeah, if you go to somewhere like Ireland where it rains like all the time,
right,
it makes a huge difference. Right. Yeah, going on a hike, and then you're 5 minutes in, and your shoes are wet, and you're like, I just want to go home.
We didn't talk about like, but I think it's kind of obvious, like toiletries, like you need, 3.2 ounces or less.
Yeah, I would think that everyone by now is...
So those little bottles that you can go buy and you can fill them up with like your stuff.
Yeah. If you've never traveled before, you need you can't have more than 3.2 ounces of fluid in a container.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that's it, man.
I think we got a lot of the big ones.
Yeah. And not only does this conclude the episode... But this concludes season one of the Travel Agents Podcasts.
Do you have a favorite episode from season one?
Episode? Oh, man.
I'm just dropping this on you.
Yeah, that's that's right off the get-go. It's tough. I'm really partial to Philadelphia because of the meaning behind it. It being our first one, our first trip as the Travel Agents.
Our first
guest.
Interview, yeah.
Our first travel guide.
Sure.
All of the stuff. I don't know. I think it might be Philadelphia. Do I think it's our best one? No. But it's it's special to me.
We were nervous.
Dude, we are so nervous. Fun fact, little end of the season, fun facts about season one.
Sure, go ahead.
When we first started this thing, we sat down in my kitchen.
Sure.
And we picked up our iPhones and we were like, all right, if we're going to do this, let's just do a little dry run and talk about Philadelphia.
It'll never get easier just to try it. So we better just go.
So we just sat there and recorded episode one off of our iPhone and we realized, hey, this isn't too bad.
Well, your wife was in the other room.
Yeah.
We were giggling so much because it was like, oh,
it was so awkward.
Yeah. We didn't really know transitions. We didn't have a jingle yet.
Nope.
We didn't have all this great equipment. But we had a blast. I remember I shared it with my parents. They listened to it on their drive to Columbus the next day, and they loved it. They're like, oh, we're excited.
Maybe if we have enough, I don't know, what's the challenge? Maybe if we have comments what do you want to do? Comments or subscribers?
Oh, what are you getting at? We release that?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
We could do it. We could do it.
Okay.
If we, I don't even know, like 100 comments or something.
I have two favorites.
Yeah, one. please share.
So I have one. So my two favorites. One was Iceland because you really shone. Is that the right? Shined? Shone.
You just
right out the gate.
Well, thank you.
It was awesome. And I remember just like sitting here going like, wow, I was on that trip too. And it was just great. Like listening, like I forget half the stuff we did. And so hearing you talk about it and your tips, I was super impressed with you.
It's a trip that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. And then I really had a lot of fun talking about Ethiopia just because it was so different.
For sure. Yeah. I was really excited when you told me you wanted to do that episode. I was like, yes, please. Yeah. I want to hear about it more. And
then having Skinner here made me feel a lot more comfortable because I knew we could.
It made it really special.
Fact check me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Sure, yeah. Sure.
That was cool.
Well, speaking for myself, and I think I can speak for Brian, we hope that you guys have enjoyed season one of the Travel Agents. Know that there is a lot more coming. Mm-hmm. We have exciting things planned for season two.
Yeah.
We will be back in a few months, and we're excited to show you what we have.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate your support.
Until season two, we're out of here.
We're the Travel Agents. That's the end of our show. Make sure to comment and subscribe before you go. We're the Travel Agents.